Long after they should have eaten dinner, and long after the library should have been closed, the brethren remained locked in their room, saying little, avoiding eye contact with one another, each staring at the walls, deep in thought. On the table were three letters. One was from Al's laptop, postmarked 2 days earlier in D.C. One was Al's handwritten note, ending his correspondence with Ricky, postmarked 3 days earlier. These two conflicted sharply and were obviously written by different people. Someone was tampering with their mail. The third letter had stopped them cold. They had read it over and over, one by one, collectively, in silence, in unison. They'd picked at its corners, held it up to the light, even smelled it. There was a very faint, smoky odor, same as the envelope and the other letter from Al to Ricky. Handwritten in ink, it was dated April 18th at 1:20 a.m. and addressed to a woman named Carol. Dear Carol, what a great night. The debate couldn't have gone better, thanks in part to you and the Pennsylvania volunteers. Many thanks. Let's push harder and win this thing. We're ahead in Pennsylvania. Let's stay there. See you next week. It was signed by Aaron Lake. The card had his name personalized across the top. The handwriting was identical to the terse note Al had sent Ricky. The envelope was addressed to Ricky at Aladdin North, and when Beach opened it, he did not notice the second card stuck behind the first. Then it fell on the table, and when he picked it up, he saw the name Aaron Lake engraved in black. That had happened sometime around 4 p.m., not long after Trevor had left. For almost 5 hours they had studied the mail, and they were now almost certain that A, the laptop letter, was a fake, B, the details in the fake letter indicated that its author had at some point gained access to Ricky's correspondence with Al, C, the notes to Ricky and Carol were handwritten by Aaron Lake, and D, the one to Carol, had obviously been sent to them by mistake. Above all, Al Conyers was really Aaron Lake. Their little scam had ensnared the most famous politician in the country. Other, less important pieces of evidence also pointed toward Lake. His front was a mailbox service in the D.C. area, a place where Congressman Lake spent almost all of his time. Being a high-profile elected official, subject to the whims of voters every so often, he would certainly hide behind an alias, and he'd use a machine with a printer to hide his handwriting. Al had not sent a photograph, another sign that he had a lot to conceal. They'd checked recent newspapers in the library to get the date straight. The handwritten notes had been mailed from St. Louis the day after the debate, when Lake was there because his airplane had caught fire. The timing seemed perfect for Lake to call off the letters. He had started the correspondence before he entered the race. In 3 months, he had taken the country by storm and become very famous. Now, he had so much to lose. Slowly, with no concern for time, they built their case against Aaron Lake. And when it looked airtight, they tried to break it down. The most compelling counterpoint came from Finn Yarber. Suppose, he said, someone on Lake's staff had access to his stationery. Not a bad question, and one they'd kicked around for an hour. Say it was an assistant to Lake. So far, he had a perfect cover because he'd told them almost nothing. No photo. Only the vaguest details about career and family. Why, then, would he call off the relationship at this moment? There was no ready answer.